Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Tiana, we have something in common. You're about to be confirmed. And I was confirmed like you in the eighth grade. If we could go back to that day when I was confirmed and somebody would say, "You're going to be a pastor one day and confirming others in the faith," I would have said, "Uh-uh." And God laughed, said, "Muhahaha." The Lord has plans that we don't always see the ending, doesn't he? He even works counter to our will and ways. And thank God he does. If he didn't work counter to our will and ways, there'd be no church, and no confirmation, and no first communion, and no pastors and teachers, no salvation. And the world, if it still existed, would be a more savage place. If the Lord left us as orphans on the planet, I don't think it would be like little orphan Annie, or the sun would come out tomorrow. I think it'd be more like Oliver Twist. A bunch of criminals taking care of little orphans, making them pickpockets and expanding an evil empire. And in some ways, that's exactly what the world we live in is like. After all, there are orphans, isn't there? And people do employ others to do their dirty work. Human trafficking and slave trading still exist. And just like Oliver Twist, there are hypocrite preachers who preach a good word of morality, like Mr. Bumble, if you know Oliver Twist, in Dickens' book. He's the head of the orphanage where Oliver is born, but he behaves without compassion towards the paupers in his care. Orphans sometimes have fake fathers, people who provide for them only for the purpose of self-gain. But not our Heavenly Father. No. He says today in the text, Jesus, "I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. And in that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you." God the Father wants to have something common with us. His Son, our Savior. People think that death separates them from their loved ones. And this is true, ordinarily. But with God's plan of sending Jesus, this is no longer true, is it? Sin separates us from God. The wages of sin is death. But by sending Jesus to die for sinners in their place, those who seem to be orphans have access to a true family. After Good Friday, Jesus, who died on the cross, Good Friday, came to life for us on Easter Sunday. The Father raised his Son from the dead. And he appeared for 40 days until, as we celebrate soon this week, Thursday this week, May 25th, the ascension into heaven, where Jesus ascended back to the Father. Because, and with this promise, that "I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you, and you will see me." And God does come now. Jesus comes now in the preaching of his word today. He comes in the forgiveness of sins declared in the church and in your homes. He comes in the sacrament of holy baptism in his name, the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and unites us with him for eternal life. He comes in the Lord's Supper today that we receive, where Jesus says, "This is my body," and we see that, and our faith knows that his presence is real. He comes for us with a guarantee of his crucified and risen body for us that we might live. Because he lives, we also shall live. And he will come again, just as he said he would. The purpose of us making making us his real family by blood, by his daily care, is not to make us steal for him, like in Oliver Twist, those little pickpockets, but rather that we would be like him and give of ourselves, not stealing but self-sacrificing our lives for others. It's a big part of the Christian life, isn't it? Not just being who we are and receiving, but also sacrificing of ourselves for the sake of others. God calls us into that relationship, not just a relationship with him, but a relationship with our neighbor, giving of yourself for the sake of others. We fight the hypocrisy of ourselves too, don't we? So that we don't simply preach morality, the Ten Commandments, but we live it, freed by his blood from sin and slavery to sin. And live now as new creatures, freed by his blood. By grace you have been saved and set free. Live in his Ten Commandments. Live in that new life. You're new creatures. And the truth is, yes, we still sin daily. Yes, we deny the Lord each and every time we sin. But Jesus has promised not to leave or forsake us. Repenting in this house, he again forgives, and again, and again, and again. Otherwise, we would be orphans on a lonely planet. Jesus declared, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him." Tiana, that's why I kept teaching the Ten Commandments in catechesis over and over, and you confessed them well today and made you memorize them in part and take them to heart, his words, both law and gospel. By this we show the love of Jesus and are assured of the Father's love to us. The commandments, above all, show us our need of Jesus. They show our sin, and the gospel shows our Savior. The Ten Commandments point out the disease. The gospel, the good news of Jesus, shows the cure. His cross, his open tomb, his life, his love, all for you. Jesus lived the perfect life. And he exchanged his innocence for our repeat failures to do all that the law requires. You have a Father that will go over the top for you to keep you innocent and perfect in his sight. You may not know the Father's plans for you and for your future, just like I didn't. And he may have plans counter to what you currently think. After all, I'm standing here today. But all this God does to reveal his grace and love. And in the end, greater things than we can think or imagine. In the meantime, he's given you his Spirit, which dwells in you. His Spirit which confirms the faith that you have by your confession, your repentance, all those things. You can't give your own credit. You can't say, "Oh, I did all that." Today you come forward to be confirmed. You can't say, "Oh, I'm doing all this. I finally got it all figured out." I can't either. It's the Spirit that God gives, that he promised to send, that calls us into this fellowship, and brings us together into his house, and made us have this thing called confirmation. Not that we confirm by our powers what's in us, but that the Spirit works in and through us to confess the faith that he has accomplished and done apart from us and has given us graciously through his word, through baptism, and through the Lord's Supper. God has worked his Spirit in you. Your body is a temple for the Holy Spirit. Wear it well. come forward and confess boldly, not because you figured it all out and you listened to the pastor and you got all the Ten Commandments memorized, but because the Spirit has worked his gift of faith in you. That which we can doubt and say, do I have faith? I don't know. But by the Spirit we can confess, yes, Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. In the meantime, he's given you his Spirit, which dwells in you to confirm your faith in you and help you confess what you otherwise wouldn't do. Such is his gift and his will. God has already confirmed his love for you. He confirmed that love on the cross when he said, it is finished. He confirmed that love to you when he said, here, take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you for the forgiveness of sins. He confirmed his love for you before the foundation of the world by saying, here is my beloved Son, the Lamb who was slain before the foundation of the world. What do we have to do? Simply to praise and receive all that he has planned and works so that we can be confirmed in his heavenly presence as his beloved children by faith in Christ Jesus. God bless you on your confirmation day because of the Spirit that dwells in you. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.